Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners are sharing their experiences, talk all things EVs and technology. My name is Eric. We got Chase and Will is back. So how are you guys doing?
Good, good. Sounding a lot better. Shout out to...
yeah, go ahead. You sound great. We don't hear Will.
Oh, no. Oh, he hasn't turned it on yet. I think he might be trying to turn it on.
We can't hear you, Will. But So a funny thing for anybody that's watching or listening. I got a comment in our last podcast that Chase and I did from a viewer named Charlie Holm. And I'm going to go ahead and post that here just to kind of show everybody. So
I'll do the Yeti next time.
There you go.
You poked at a soft spot that I was already going to try to fix, and then you just happened to
He just pushed you off the cliff, right? So, Charlie, our good friend Charlie, says that he went back, he says, got to do something with Chase's audio. It's really bad, very thin and unpleasant. Not sure why, but please address it.
Now I'm deep.
Yeah, and then so he... deep. He goes back and says, I did go back and listen to older audio from Chase, and the poor audio is consistent. So what did Chase do? He went and bought. Go ahead and tell us what you got.
Yeah, I got the Blue Yeti caster. I think for the price, I was kind of looking at actually a HyperX mic, but that's kind of like a freestanding one, and I actually wanted something with a, a boom. I could move around. Yeti caster. The Blue Yeti caster specifically comes with a boom and a mic for $200. So highly recommend. It's great quality for the price.
No, you sound good. Right before we went live, I was just admiring your audio over there. So
appreciate it. Well, thanks, Charlie.
Eric was enjoying some Chase ASMR.
Yes, exactly. I don't know. I mean, we weren't recording, but if we were recording, I think you guys would have saw my face. I was just staring at him.
Say air compressor again. Say air compressor.
I'll get two, so you can have like one in each ear.
I wanted to get into the biggest news of all Cybertruck news in the history of Cybertruck, which is that Cybertruck is finally in Fortnite.
Ah, what took them so long?
We did it, boys.
We did.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, and the trailer here, this is what I find super interesting. They show a tank, a pickup truck, all these different vehicles and trying to pull like a tug of war with the Cybertruck, and the Cybertruck's just killing them all single-handedly, right?
It literally breaks the chain.
It breaks the chain, and there you go. Fortnite finally has the Cybertruck. And, for anybody that doesn't game, they may go, that's not a big deal. But kids have been telling me about this for the last, I don't know, day, 2 days, about how the Cybertruck is in Fortnite. And they believe for some weird reason that I have something to do with that. And that Chase, who any of you guys know, is in the video game industry, that he has something to do with it. So
had nothing to do with it.
We're just going to go ahead and take all the credit, right?
Yeah. I mean, kids. The best comment on that I saw on X was, "Kids already love this thing. This is just overkill."
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. This is just...
It is true. Like, there's been one demographic when I had my truck that would go out of their way to make contact with me and admire the truck, and it was always the kids coming out of my son's elementary school.
Yep.
It was without fail, too. It was always cool.
Yeah, the kids love the Cybertruck. It never fails. I've never seen a kid tell me or show me some type of reaction other than pure joy. Cybertruck is in Fortnite. So anybody who wants that, you know, go ahead and pop down whatever you need to do, money, or I don't know how that all works, but
apparently it's a multi-day trek of numerous quests that have to be completed to get it right now. But I'm sure it'll be like widely available in like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
So they're making you work for
it. Good on them for also not putting it just behind a paywall that you can just like buy it.
Yeah.
You have to kind of do something for it. Which if I'm tracking right, because my nephews are also like hard at work trying to do each day, I think they're on day 3 today as we're recording this. So good luck.
So funny story, when I started my son is playing Fortnite, and you know, it's that Narnia quote, you know, it's like, do not quote the deep magic to me, witch. I was installing Counter-Strike as a mod when Half-Life was being passed around the library with friends. So the olden days of gaming, but he's super stoked with Fortnite. And I think it's a really interesting system that they've set up, because I played Fortnite casually. I tried it out a couple of times. I want to say like 8 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. And it was when Robot Chicken was cross-advertising. So I've got a skin that I guess hasn't been available for like years now. And I wear it whenever I'm playing with him. And he's like, nobody has this skin. It's amazing. So these are the new baseball cards. Like getting skins, getting cars, getting collectibles in some of these games. You know, we know that in 5 years, they probably won't even care about Fortnite or know what Fortnite is or just be over it. But right now, this is their baseball card. It's pretty fun to watch them chomp at the bit over it.
And I never thought thing of that. With my... Yeah. I was playing when my nephews came out, and I was playing with them, and they had a similar thing where I guess I had a certain emote that was like years ago. And they're like, oh, come on, I got to get the Orange Justice. And like, like they wanted me to just do the emote anytime I was in a lobby with other players, because they were just cheesing over it. But
so if you've got emotes Uncle Chase is cool. Or old skins or something, you've got some serious street cred with these kids.
Well, I don't have any street cred with the kids. I could just take them outside and show them a real Cybertruck.
True.
I don't have any of those skins, unfortunately. So I'm not the cool one. But moving on, wanted to bring up something that I know we've been all eagerly waiting for. And that is, let's see if I can pull this up real quick. So I got an email. I think, Chase, you got the email before me. Email from Tesla just stating that, I'll just kind of read it. It says, your vehicle is in the queue to receive the Cybertruck Cyber Wheel covers. No action is needed from you. Once the product is available at your local service center, you will receive a notification in your Tesla mobile app, the Tesla team. So, you know, that's something that, you know, luckily I have the originals, but majority of people that have Cybertrucks don't have these and are anticipating getting them. And finally, they're sending out these emails stating that they're ready to start delivering them to people and getting them on your trucks. And so that's something that's pretty cool and exciting. Another thing real quick and also is the fact that, if I could find it, here we go. My good buddy David Nguyen, he has a Cyber Beast, and so he posted on Instagram the email that he got. It includes the Cyber Wheel covers, but also the off-road light bar. So that's something that I know people have been highly anticipating, is the light bar. I know we talked about Chase's light bar last week that he finally got and installed, and that looks super cool. But the Tesla one that is supposed to come with the Cyber Beast is finally going to be installed on those Cyber Beasts. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That'll be exciting to see, because after we talked about the light bar, I was looking more into it. And yeah, I think the real value is going to be coming in from how the light bar is going to be integrated into the lights of the Cybertruck. I think we talked about it. I don't think it's actually using an extra port. So you should be able to have access to the topside port and switch, but the light bar should be its own thing. So excited to see how that plays out.
Well, since we're on the subject, I mean, you've had the light bar, the T-Sport Line light bar for about a week now?
Yeah. Yeah.
How's it working? How's it going for you?
Going well. No issues. I mean, honestly, the mount, everything's been super tight. We even had like pretty bad rain, and it's all pretty solid. Nothing's kind of shifted around or anything. The throw on the light's pretty good. So happy with that. But yeah, honestly, just looking at like the potential of the Tesla's the light bar, it's kind of the only, I wouldn't say regret, but maybe jealousy of this light bar is just a light. It's on off. That's it. It doesn't dim. It doesn't have like directional ditch lights or whatnot. Like it's just a light bar, does what it is. I think, and we said it last week, I think the real test will be when we see the light bars go up on the accessory page and see how much they're going to charge extra for them. If they're going to charge $2,000 for the Tesla light bar, maybe we'll see. I don't know. Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because most things that are in the Tesla shop are very expensive. I doubt that the light bar is going to be any different, but if there's some added features or usability, then obviously it might be warranted. So yeah, I think that's going to be a hot seller though for Tesla. It's going to be one of those sold out items that we see all the time in their Tesla shop for the Cybertruck. So yeah. I anticipate it being the same with that. Real quick, we got Hugo in chat saying, good evening, guys. Also mentions Chase's audio.
Says the microphone's already paid for itself, I swear.
Yeah. I mean, he's big time wonderful. Now. So
you go tell 200 of your friends and we'll get this. We'll get this up.
Get this bad boy paid for.
Yeah. But needless to say, I am excited about the AeroCaps. I've been complaining about them for a long time. So I'm super excited to finally have them. And it's interesting that they're not shipping them directly to us. They're shipping to the service stations, and you're going to have to just get a text and go pick them up. Hopefully it's like one of those situations where, much like the recall rivet fix, you could just show up anytime and they would fix it. Hopefully it's like once it's ready, you just show up in the 10 minutes, they slap them on and you're good to go.
I mean, yeah, they're very easy to take on and off the originals. I don't see why you can't just show up and they just hand you a box with them in there and you're on your way. You know, I don't think it's all that complicated, but I know that you were waiting for your light bar. You're waiting for your aero covers, and it looks like all your dreams are coming true. You have beautiful audio. I mean, it's just, it's a good time to be Chase.
It only took 5 months of ownership to get to this point.
But we're here, Chase, okay? We're here.
I'm taking the sacrifice for all the Foundation Series owners that are buying the truck tomorrow.
I was honestly, from what I, when I saw the newly designed aero caps, I was kind of stoked because I was worried that they were just going to abandon what that style was along with the tire. Yeah. The tire looks so cool, and I'm like, okay, so it was like, it was the obvious solution. They just cut down those little spikes by like half the length. But it's like, I think everybody was worried because they saw what those other aero caps were, and everybody's like, no.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, those early images, I guess you could say, prototype images, were hideous. And I know we've talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it on at least two different episodes where we would bring it up, and it just, it was really sad. But, you know, I think maybe they heard some feedback or they just tinkered around a little bit. And yeah, exactly what you said, Will, is they just did what all you needed to do is kind of trim it down a little bit in those wear areas, keep the design the same, and everyone would be happy. And that was the same thing, as I didn't want them to detract too far from the original design, because I actually really, really like the aero caps.
Yeah, they look badass. And I feel like I feel like in the rest of the world, a company makes a car and they've already tested an absurd number of things. And then they come up with these other random things and they have to test them And then, you know, usually the fixes don't make it until like the next year or the year after. But here you have Tesla releasing this thing early and not really fully prepared. And you can kind of see they're like, oh, the aero caps, it's puncturing the sidewalls, so we need to redesign it. They're like, okay, how quickly can we redesign it and test it? Because you know that they're not just going to start shipping them out to everybody. So they probably had to go through a brainstorm process of, okay, the obvious answer is we've got to trim the thing down. But somebody's like, but we're not going to do it as a recall for all of these vehicles or start providing it here going unless we know it fixes the sidewall problem. And mm-hmm. It looks like that's what they had to do. Because now that's here we are. Because it's like, I think that it's obvious. Yeah, just make the thing shorter. But you need to be certain. Otherwise, you're paying for a lot of broken sidewalls, a lot of new tires.
Totally.
And you definitely don't want to go through this all over again.
Mm-mm. No. I'm not really so certain that the redesign that we saw was not just the street tire version of the.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist. And GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Wheel. And possibly what we could see with the non-Foundation series. I wouldn't be shocked if that pops up again, because part of me thinks that they're making the non-Foundation series tire look a little gimpy compared to the actual Foundation series.
Yeah.
Just to give like a reason for the upcharge.
I don't remember. Sure. Do the street tires? They don't have those indents on the actual tires.
No, they're like smooth tires on the side.
Just regular tires.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that you're probably right. They're just going to do like a traditional hubcap type of thing if they do anything.
It's like the aero caps from Wish, essentially.
Dinner
plates. Hey, I've been in communication with Wish. They're thinking about being a sponsor of ours, so I'm going to have to edit that.
I love Wish. Wish is amazing.
I wish. Maybe one day.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So a big thing that came out, well, I mean, I guess it's Elon, right? Mm-hmm. But Elon has confirmed that the Cybertruck FSD will release with 12.5. Question is, when will that be? But he's confirming that when 12.5 comes out for other Teslas, that Cybertruck will get full self-driving at that time. So once again, you know, we keep harping on it, but you know, we're now in late July, a month since, you know, Elon said that we would be getting full self-driving. I'm hoping now that they've pushed the robo-taxi event to 10/10, which, Chase, you hit it right on the head with that prediction, that I hope we don't have to wait that long to get full self-driving.
Yeah, it would make sense that they push it because of some delays with 12.5. Yeah. We were supposed to have it in end of June, and then now we're here in July, and then we were expecting it by August because of 8/8. And now we're looking at 10/10. We'll have to see. I'm hoping it's before then. At the very least, it should be on 10/10. And he can be like, hey, and it's available today, you know, that whole thing.
So I don't believe anything that Elon ever says. That should definitely go without saying. However, so I think that I'm gonna tinfoil hat my way through what's happened is this. You know, they made it about, oh, the robotaxi and something about the physical design, and Elon was like, oh, you know, I saw something and I wanted to fix it before. So we pushed it back. I'm like, Yeah, sure you did. Whatever. But I think that there's still a wisdom behind the fact that the robotaxi, from what I'm seeing on Twitter, and I feel like Twitter is kind of, if you listen carefully to the crickets, you can hear the messages that Tesla is kind of disseminating to a lot of the Twitter crowd that's heavy on Tesla. And it seems like they're really thinking that this robotaxi event is going to be like a major moment for full self-driving for a number of reasons. For the obvious reason, robotaxis literally requires full self-driving to be solved for it to function, to work. But I wonder if this is all going to be kind of, because I think that I've made it clear that I'm like, I think that they're going to keep trying to push up the price on full self-driving. And I'm wondering if there was an alignment thing where it's like, no. The robotaxi event that was supposed to be 8-8 was supposed to also be kind of really laying it on thick for how close they were to solving at least like a higher level of autonomy than where they dwell at right now. And now that they've shifted it to October, I'm like, oh, this kind of sounds like it's a last quarter push before a full self-driving price increase. And especially if it's on the tail end of a successful robotaxi tease, the future of autonomy, if they can get all of those things into that event on the 10th, you know, I think that it could substantiate considerable. Oh man, they're almost there. And Tesla's been like, yeah, and when we know we're almost there or we're there, you're not going to be able to afford FSD anymore. So this might just be kind of a way to unify all of that under one thing. You have an October reveal of robotaxis and full self-driving. You tell everybody buy full self-driving by the end of the year before the price goes up on January 1st or whatever. And then, you know, they've kind of got the usual Tesla march forward.
Not to mention Roadster. The one more thing.
I want robotaxis to be the Roadster. I think it would be absurdly awesome if the robotaxis was a $200,000 zero to 60 in like 0.8 seconds. You know, it would just be the most ridiculous thing possible. Like, oh my God, Tesla.
It only operates in Dubai.
Yeah, it's got the SpaceX rocket boosters that just goes over the traffic. It's amazing.
Well, I think last week, Chase and I spoke about how there's speculation. I don't even know if it's speculation. Maybe it's one guy, but we were talking about how somebody had mentioned the possibility of the robotaxi being Cybertrucks. And we were kind of talking about how we don't think so because, you know, they teased some images of the robotaxi and it's not a Cybertruck, obviously. But, you know, now Will's taking it a step further and going, oh, forget the Cybertruck. Let's make it a Roadster and let's just be done with it.
Yeah, exactly. Just blow people's mind. Being like, yeah, we'll get you like, you know, 60 miles from here in like 30 minutes. Be like, wait a second, how fast are we going to go?
Yeah, and you know what? You hit it on the head when you first started that, you know, talking about this, where you said you don't trust anything that Elon says anymore. And it's 100% correct when it comes to anybody, and you've been, you know, a Tesla follower for many years now, so you get it. And I think the Cybertruck is introducing a lot of people to Tesla and getting some people on board with electric vehicles and Tesla. And that's something that they don't necessarily understand or realize is that as you can say whatever you want to say about Elon, but, you know, he has created some amazing, you know, world changing devices and you know, companies. But when it comes to his timelines and what he states, it never listen to that.
No.
I think that's part of our podcast is kind of, you know, sharing once again, as I say in the intro, sharing our experiences, but also our knowledge because, you know, I think Will has been a Tesla follower and owner for longer than I, but, you know, I've been 6 years or whatever it's been. And, you know, Chase is newer into this, but, you know, he's had a Cybertruck for quite a few months now. And so, yeah, it's just
first time owner.
Huh? Say it again?
Long time listener, first time owner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time pre-order holder.
Yeah. So I mean, it is what it is, you know. I mean, it's just, you got to always just take whatever Elon says when it comes to timelines with a grain of salt. And just,
I think it's just, everybody just needs to remember that it's like he's been hyping a lot for a long time, and it's been doing well. But you know, at some point, you know, the hype has to materialize into things, and I think that COVID had its setbacks, and their ability to kind of keep the rain coming, so to speak, was interrupted. But I think that it seems like they're ready to kind of get back, especially now that there are so many EV competitors that are starting to kind of sap away some of their sales. They're like, okay, cool, we need to get back to basics. We need to have something to really catch eyes. We need to really get people's attention again.
To mention 100%. The big boys that are going to be in playing here soon.
Yeah.
GMC, Kia, all these, once they figure out kind of the sweet sauce in production, it's going to be a serious competitor.
It's all
as well.
Tech. It's so funny. I think of it. I saw finally an article that like has, it felt validated, where it just mentioned the fact that for so many of the automakers, they're all admitting the same thing. They're like, we suck at software. You know, we've had, you know, $1,000 GPS map updates that people had to pay for at a service update versus Tesla, who just sends you the maps for free over the air. No, nothing extra to do. And then every automaker, it's like, you know, they're figuring out whether to put CarPlay in their car or should it have this other thing. It's like Tesla's teaching their cars to drive themselves. Where are you guys? Like this the in-vehicle experience is going to start becoming the defining factor, because electric vehicles are just a huge battery with wheels on it. And the safety is already lower than that of a combustion engine vehicle, because there's fewer parts for an engine. You know, there's a fire danger. Guess what? Gasoline also catches fire. So there's a fire danger for everything that you drive.
No, gasoline catches fire?
Pretty much anything that's volatile and capable of producing energy, yes, it'll produce fire too. It's strange. But I think that now that you've got so many people realizing, it's like, okay, these EVs, it's not just a battery swapped in and it's just supposed to be the same old car. It's supposed to be making you rethink what a car can be or do or have inside as amenities. And I think that all the automakers are like, yeah, we don't know shit about any of this stuff. We don't know how to implement it, you know? I think that that's why some of them, like VW's teaming up with Rivian to be like, we don't know where to start with this stuff. Like, yeah. we've got 100 years of what we think about cars. We need some nerds. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, we need some nerds who are going to be like, yo, you could totally put in like, you know, I don't know, like ultra wideband system into the phone that'll make it. You know, you got people at VW being like, what? What the fuck? No, just I think that that's kind of, this is starting to become the next thing, because I, like I said, I've been around it for a while. Nobody took electric vehicles seriously until Tesla made them take it seriously, and now Tesla's software and passenger experience is going to be the next threat to other automakers, and they're like, we've still got a lot to learn, and it seems like they're starting to catch up finally.
100%. And there was another article that, it's kind of old, it's about 2 years old, that came out through my feed even recently about that, where they did a poll and about 79% of U.S. car buyers say that they would only buy a car if it supported CarPlay. So I mean, they're also kind of crippled by having CarPlay, which is not always the solution, because that kind of also hinders them to what they could actually do with the car. All it does is just kind of give you a glorified, you know, Bluetooth connection to your iPhone.
Yeah, and I think that that's been kind of Tesla. It's been disappointing when they rolled back the Steam ability for to play Steam games in the car and stuff, because I thought that was really one of the first times that they were like, we're intending the vehicle. It's not just a novelty. It's not just the beach buggy racer game that my kids play. It's like, no, this is actually supposed to be a thought out experience for the passengers riding in the car as an expectation of a 21st century vehicle, what you do in that time. And I think that just a lot of cars that are like, oh, you know, we have CarPlay in it. Be like, okay, so your phone can just, it's a glorified interface to still just do the same thing you already do, which is use your phone in the car. use Wise or Waze, excuse me, and or respond to text messages. Be like, what's the next thing it could be doing though? And you know, it seems like CarPlay is the focus because it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like people like buying a car but still trying to feed it hay. You know, you're still behind on what you could be doing with this thing. And that's what I really yearn to see. Because like I said, you know, the cars are 100 kilowatt hour batteries. Like that could run a computer for days and days and days and days and days.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what it can do. Let's do that, you know.
I would say the Cybertruck runs on about a bale of hay per month, if anyone's wondering.
and you know what, Chase, you know, this is why we work well together. So my video that's coming out tomorrow is how much hay do I feed my Cybertruck?
Stay tuned.
Yeah, and how much that costs me. That's the key. And so I'm providing that feedback for everyone who needs to know, you know.
You joke, but you could easily make the frunk make it look like it's eating the
Mr. Yeah. Ed doing that.
And Jeremy Judkins will jump onto it.
Oh, no.
You just gave him some idea, some content right there. But speaking of FSD, some other news that's coming out is the fact that FSD Supervised 12.5 is rolling out. It's been rolling out to employees, right? I think we talked about that, Chase, last week.
Yep.
But now it's starting to roll out to some non-employees, which is fantastic to hear because it's just moving, right? It's moving down the chain. And so they're now getting into the non-employees. I'm sure it's a select few, but it's a good sign. It's a good sign to see that there's progress and we're inching closer. Which...
And it's still only didn't they say that this is still only going out to hardware 4 model wise?
I don't know about that, but that wouldn't surprise me.
Hang on, I'd seen some chatter about it, and they were like, literally, I think 12.5, they're focusing on hardware 4 model wise right now, and that after that it'll evolve past it. And I think it was Elon that.
Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
We did it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know what? You know, it'd be a good question, and maybe we just know it off the top. I think I know what it is. What is the most popular Tesla? Is it the Model Y? Are there more Model Ys on the road right now than any other Tesla?
Good question. I think Chase is Googling it.
If I had to guess,
selling EV in the world, but that doesn't constitute that it's that the fleet is the largest in the world.
Didn't we show some information a few weeks back on the podcast that how the Model Y is now the number one car?
Yeah, it's like the number one EV, best-selling car.
Yeah, in at least the United States.
Take that, Honda Civic.
Honda Civic was my first car ever, so got a little soft spot for that.
Uh-huh.
Real quick, we got Jay in chat. So we got Hugo and Jay, our loyal listeners. We appreciate you guys.
Sorry we kept you waiting, Jay, dude. It's my fault. I wound up working today, and I threw the whole schedule into shit.
Yeah, no, it's all good. We like when you work.
I love it when I work.
You're Hollywood. Chase, real quick, because before you got in, Will and I were talking, and doesn't he look Hollywood right now?
What?
He's got the shirt open up, got the chest showing a little bit, he's got the hair.
I'm telling you, man, nobody believes me. I've been working in this business for 17 years. Wear a collared shirt. It always, people aren't sure what to make of it, but it works out really well.
So
just the part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, I can't find the numbers that are like year, like two dates, like total numbers. Most of them are just like Q3 of 2023 and all this stuff. But yeah, definitely Model Y outpaces Model 3 in recent numbers for sure. So I wouldn't be shocked if it's
what does that look like?
Total sales.
By chance.
Out of curiosity. It's just for Q3 of 2023,
mm-hmm.
just an example, there were roughly, and now this is like a chart, so this is estimates. There's roughly about 50,000 Model 3s sold in one quarter compared to 90,000 Model Ys.
Wow.
So
yeah,
almost double.
Almost double.
Yeah.
And that's also the next closest is the Chevy Bolt, which is like 17,000 for the same quarter.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. So yeah, I mean, if there's not more Model Ys out on the roads than any other Tesla, it will be at some point. But I wouldn't be surprised if they are already. But moving on, keeping the conversation going about FSD, I think this also plays into what Will was saying about how maybe the strategy of FSD and increasing the price and all that, and how they're trying to push that. This kind of is a good example of that. So I received this email earlier in the week where they're stating that if you take delivery of a Model 3 Performance or a Model X all-wheel drive that qualifies for the $7,500 federal tax credit, and you purchase full self-driving with that vehicle, you'll also receive a complimentary paint they upcharge you for the paint. You get that complimentary for the Model 3s, or you can get a seating upgrade with your Model X. And what is FSD right now? $8,000. And I think the 6-seat configuration for the Model X is about $6,500. So you're pretty much, you know, if you really want to look at it, you're almost getting FSD for free. That's a pretty cool incentive there. And this promotion is ending, I guess, August 15th. Well, it says right here, you also get 3 months of free supercharging. Which, by the way, I'm supposed to get 12 months and I still don't have it. So what the heck is going on with that?
I mean, it's tempting, but it also feels like they're like really trying to pad the next quarter sales.
100%.
100%. I bet you... Okay, so that screen, I think, said you had to do it by August 15th.
15th, yep.
Which is a week after when the August 8th unveil was supposed to be. I bet you that they will continue that promotion until the October. Or at least, I'll say this. If they do extend that promotion until the fourth quarter, it'll make me think that they really have something to show off when it comes to the RoboTaxi event on October 10th.
Yeah, I guess that's the reason why I wanted to show that is because it's feeding into that whole theory, right? That they're pushing FSD. As we know, there's going to be huge news in the next couple months. Hopefully, it actually happens on October 10th with RoboTaxi and, you know, 12.5 and all these things. And so, you know, I agree with Will. I think right now at $8,000, it's a bargain. If you're going to buy a Tesla, or you're thinking about buying a Tesla, I mean, and if you want that type of technology, do it now, because I don't think by January 1st of 2025 it's going to be $8,000 anymore.
It's a nice offer, because it's like, what is it, the other custom paints are like between $1,000 and $2,000, and I think that the 6-seater upgrade for the Model X or one of those was I don't know, like $3,000 more or something like that. But you know, it does seem like they're trying to think a little bit outside of the box. But for me, I would just caution people to say this. Like a couple of years ago, when I was kind of riding along for when they introduced Navigate on autopilot, and then you had highway lane switching based on speed. And then, you know, it assured you that it could, you know, take the exit ramp. And then city full self-driving started trickling out. And, you know, the download FSD beta thing happened. And there's just all these little landmarks along the way that I recall. At this unique moment, I feel like I have not heard or seen a significant jump in what full self-driving is to the driver, the people who are using it right now, to the point where I'm really hoping that October 10th is kind of a, hey, you know, in unifying the stack, we've also improved this and that and this and that. And then they put it out to the drivers on the road and everybody's like, holy crap, this is so much better. And it actually be like materially better. I think that if they do that, it will 100% reinvigorate the crowd. Because everybody who's been buying Cybertrucks or Model Ys or the model or the Hardware 4 stuff, they haven't been along the full self-driving journey that Tesla has been on. Like, It used to suck. It used to be so dumb. It would see parked cars that are street parked as possible danger. Phantom braking was not just a highway thing. It was anywhere you turned it on. It was freaking out all the time. And it's come so freaking far. But this last year or two has been lagging in as far as, like, I don't think there has even been, like, significant promises of what the next full self-driving will bring. It's just, like, unification of stack, 360-degree video, like, little things along the way that you're like, okay, these would be cool, but, like, I want to see that thing that really knocks my socks off. I want to see Smart Summon, actual Smart Summon work. I want to see something that makes you really think, like, holy crap, they're really almost there, aren't they? Because that's going to be the thing that people will be like, yo, give me the thing right now. Just all, yeah, sign, buy it.
It's big. And yeah. I think it's going to be shifting for not only Tesla, but also, like, just driving in general. Like, I think people, like, will have the same conversations we've been having of the what ifs and what isms, you know,
if full self-driving cars. If you get it to a point where you don't have to feel like you're a daredevil, like you're a stunt driver in your own car, and you just make it so that anybody could hop into the car and tell it an address, maybe help it get out of a parking space, and then just boom, and then it just goes and drives. That'll be the moment where people are going to be like, what? This can do that? Like, because I think that people are still mind blown off of auto steer. In whatever car you drive, whatever lane guidance system you have, I think that a lot of people still don't know it's there. And then when they do the first time, they're like, oh my God, it's like turning on its own. Oh God. It's you know, full self-driving is like, yeah, it's going to take a left-hand turn and get into the far left lane. It's going to do all these smarter things. But I think now's the time for them to really wow people.
Speaking of smarter, that's a perfect segue of, like, a thought that I just had. So Smarter Every Day on YouTube had a great video and kind of demonstration of this, of exactly what you're talking about. Like, a lot of listeners, they've probably been driving for, like, more than a decade at least. But he gave the example of, like, a bicycle. So, like, riding a bicycle, everyone hopefully would know how to ride a bicycle. You turn the steering wheel, goes one way, blah, blah, blah. He created a bicycle that had a gear so that if you turned right, the wheel went left and then vice versa. So literally, that. Like, the bicycle that. Went opposite. So then... Yeah. It was crazy because, like, at first he was just like, he kept crashing. Like, he couldn't ride a bike. It was like he couldn't ride a bike anymore. But after, like, practicing and learning, he was able to actually ride a bike backwards with the steering. So much so that he even went on a trip over into Europe where they were like, oh, let's get a bike and go around the town. But they're normal bikes, and he could not learn how to ride, like, a traditional bike anymore because his brain was so used to the new way. Like, so, yeah. But that hurdle to get to, you know, learning something new is definitely is significant. So I think, and I had the same experience when I first had, you know, the full self-driving on the highway. It was just like a weird kind of, like, you know, it's a tense moment. Like, you're just full of anxiety the entire time of letting it do its thing. And you're seeing something come up on the highway and you know what you would do. And you're just waiting for the vehicle to do it for you. And it's just like, will it do it? It did it. And you're just like, okay. But I mean, that was, like, also full self-driving, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to see where it's come from then. And that was only on iOS, so we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Have you ever been in, have you ever experienced the full self-driving on streets?
Not yet.
Yeah, that's, it's pretty crazy, but it really is that, what you were saying, how that anticipation of, or maybe even anxiety, right? Of, is it going to make this turn? Is it going to, you know, hit the curb when it's doing the turn? Mm-hmm. Is it going to, you know, and, yeah, I think even years ago experiencing that, and it did fine, I guess, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it did it. But, yeah, the promises that they're making with 12.5 is just going to be, you know, it's going to be mind-blowing, I think. So at least that's what they're hyping it up to be. But I really do think that they're going to deliver on it. And I think them delaying is – also, I think proof of that, that they're really trying to make sure that they fine tune that, because they need that to hit. They need that to be like a showstopper of like, look, we've been promising this. We've been talking about this. Here it is, you know, and we're not fully there, but it's like, this is game changing on a whole other level. And no one can touch us.
I'll do it one more for the tinfoil, because I gave Tesla shit over other stuff. So I will say this. What would be really, really cool is if on October 10th, what they're showing off is a Model Y Hardware 4 that's running 12.5 or something more advanced, and show it demonstrate, like, basically find a way to demonstrate that it managed level 4 autonomy. Like, you know, I think that it's a big thing if Tesla was like, hey, the whole fleet, we just achieved autonomy for every vehicle and everything we've ever produced since 2016. Like, amazing. Not going to happen. It's just way too complex. But if they have something on October 10th to show that's like, hey, this is one of our production Model Ys, but we took it to the side and we put in the newest version of full self-driving, WayPS 12.5, blah, 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 blah. Here it is operating autonomously. Show one Tesla is capable of that, we'll set it off. It doesn't have to be the whole fleet tomorrow. It doesn't have to be that in October. I don't think that they're there. But if they can demonstrate that level of proficiency in a production vehicle that they're selling to people, start printing the money. I'm sorry. That would be a huge kick.
Some of the feats of strength, like they did with the Cybertruck reveal,
completely.
Yeah, but I think if I had a guess, I don't think that they would. I don't think they would show the Robotaxi and open it up to user fleets at the same time. I think they would stagger it.
Yeah,
but I agree. I think they would show like, hey, here's a Model Y that's doing what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
here's basically the Model Y Lite. Or whatever, just with two seats, and then it can do the same thing.
Because if they had a vehicle that was like Frankensteined up to manage like level 3 or level 4 autonomy, people would be like, "Oh, did they put like LiDAR on it? Did they betray what they said was going to be how they achieve this?"
Right.
But if they just are like, "Hey, this is a Model Y. It was VIN number, blah blah blah. We pulled it off the production line. We took it and put in this version of full self driving. Here's where we're at with this car with this hardware package that you can buy today." And it's like, and we're working to bring it to all the vehicles, but here's our proof, finally. Like, you know, like, put up or shut up. Here is us putting up, showing you, being like, this is our car that we sell to people, and it's running a level 4 autonomy system. This isn't going to be available to everybody, even Model Y owners right now, but here's our proof of concept, because we took something you're buying and we're able to accelerate it to the point where we're like, this is incredible. Right. I think that that's completely within reach for them for October. And that could have been one of those like, okay, why are, you know, the October reveal push from August could have been, you know, oh, maybe the Robotaxi prototype that they wanted to show off as a part of the prototype system, you know, the Optimus version 1, if you will, of that type. Maybe they were like, yeah, we need to put a few extra touches. But if that's what they can show off on October 10th, holy crap. And that's me like stoked about Tesla since like 2017, buying FSD since then. That will be the warning. That'll be the signal.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be like, okay, they're doing it.
And you bring up a great point, because there's years of build up for this, so that's it makes more sense why it was delayed.
There's years of cynicism. You know? There's people who are like, you know, making montage videos of Elon being like, oh, by the end of this year, definitely. By the end of this year, definitely. By the end of this year, definitely. To the point where people like me are sitting here saying, I don't believe anything Elon says.
Yeah.
But I believe in what anyone does or can demonstrate. If you can, if it's replicatable and you can get up there and show it and be like, yeah, this is the final why we took it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's going to be like, okay, we're done. We're good. You guys win. Holy crap. I hope you owned Tesla stock before this thing starts. Holy crap. Because I think that's the kind of practical world. Huh?
Even before Optimus.
Yeah. I mean, because this is the kind of real world demonstration that would set everything on fire. Like, here's hoping. That would just be so cool.
Yeah, Optimus is the thing that's going to take us all down. I saw iRobot, and I that's Optimus. I see that thing, and I go, uh-oh. That's the thing that's taking us all out.
No, a quick thing. Did you hear in the earnings call, someone asked, will Optimus have accessories? And yes. the quick chuckle from Elon.
Yeah. Elon's going, mine will.
It's like,
oh, we're gonna kill Will.
We broke Will. But seriously though, and then someone else was like, I think someone tweeted, they were like, oh, here's the accessories, and it was just like a lawnmower, push lawnmower, and a weed whacker, and like lawn tools.
Yeah, that's funny. That's hilarious. Yeah, well, yeah. It's what are they saying? Optimus is what, 2025, or wait, or 2026? I can't remember.
I think 2025 for commercial.
He claimed that they would be potentially shipping to early buyers. I think in 2025, and that you could put in an order. You, a residential, you know, non-business or whatever, could put in an order in 2025 to take ownership. I think in 2026.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So just add 2 years to those timelines. wanted to get into an update, upcoming update for certain Model Ys, Model 3s. Oh, no, it's the Model 3 Highland refresh and the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Which is ambient lighting controls. So what we're getting is the ability to control the brightness as well as having a night-only mode. Hmm. So right now in the Cybertruck, the ambient lighting is running all day, every day. As long as you're operating the vehicle, it's on. You can now have an option to have that only go on when it's nighttime and, you know, it just for your own preference, but yeah. So I think that's kind of cool. You know, I love to see little updates like this, giving us extra options and features. You know, why not? That's one of the big reasons why I love having a Tesla vehicle, is just the ability to have these updates. I know a lot of other cars are starting to do over-the-air updates as well, and that I think that's a win for the consumer.
House improvement. I love to see it. Yeah, and it also kind of mentioned how in a previous update, and I mentioned it, I think in a few weeks back, of how in service mode, it switches the lights to red. So you know it's in service mode. Yeah. Which, I mean, it's not necessary, but it's kind of a nice thing, especially if you're working in a service center and you may or may not realize it's in service mode. It's just kind of one of those extra things other than just the red outline on the UI.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that, but yes, that's that'd be great for the service center.
Appreciated.
Yeah.
Like it reminds me of I've got a grill that, the gas lights have like lights on them, like blue lights, but if they're on, they turn to red, which is kind of like a nice added safety feature, which I'm sure it's very similar. So it's like, if you accidentally leave one on, if you see the red light on, you're like,
oh, just visually, you can tell. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's great. Sense. Wanted to bring this up. Something I seen online that kind of raised a little eyebrow, and I'm looking into it a little bit too much, but you never know. It just it's coincidence, right? So this person had their Cybertruck, said that they've driven it 9,700 miles, and all of a sudden he got an alert that stated rear motor disabled, okay to drive. Vehicle speed and power may be limited. He says that it was limited to 51 miles per hour. Anybody that owns a Tesla knows that these service centers are getting very busy, and so he doesn't he can't get an appointment until August 20th, mm-hmm. which is it was almost a month from when this happened, because this happened 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days, or maybe a couple of days ago. I don't know, but either way. But I think if it wasn't last podcast, it was two episodes ago, we mentioned how Kyle O'Connor got a message from Tesla stating that they wanted to do a swap on one of his motors, mm-hmm. and there was some information that they've been able to unlock some type of efficiency with a new motor, and they wanted to get those in and test those out in the real world, which sounded great, but now it's possibly, maybe there's something more behind it. Maybe there's some type of motor issue that Tesla has discovered, and you know, they're now potentially going to be swapping out motors to alleviate this issue. But once again, this is just speculation that I'm having. This isn't, I haven't read this anywhere. This is just, I'm kind of putting two and two together and going, raised eyebrows. Is this possibly something that we're all going to deal with in the near future?
Yeah, I just checked my app. I'm at 9771.
Are you really?
Yeah, so I'll keep an eye out. I will kind of mention on there that it said motor instead of motors, so it's definitely a dual motor.
Yes. Yeah, rear motor. Yep. 100%. I'm hoping, well, it's funny because when I seen this, I started getting real nervous because I am driving out to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I was actually supposed to go today, delayed it to tomorrow, so I'm going to go tomorrow. And I'm just like now like a little paranoid because I'm thinking, oh, this better not happen to me when I'm going. It can't be limited to 51 miles per hour nor have any type of motor issues. So let's hope this was just an isolated incident, but you never know. You know, this can turn into something bigger. And I hope that's not the case.
See, I'm just the snob that's like, dude, you're driving to Vegas on the truck that doesn't have full self-driving? Like, doesn't even have an auto steer? I'm like,
yeah, I know.
It's rough.
I know.
3 hours. How are you gonna manage?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Jay's been in chat, and he's been talking about how he's really hoping, you know, he was hoping that full self-driving was gonna get that before his Vegas trip, which was a week or two ago.
Right.
And didn't get that, but now he's going up to Sequoia and he's hoping that he gets it for that. I hope he does too. So Jay, I hope so, but don't hold your breath. We'll see. See what happens.
As my father says, wish in one hand, shit in the other, and see which one gets filled first.
I love that. I haven't heard that in a while.
I like that as well. Speaking of, you know, talking about Sequoia and, you know, getting up into nature and outdoors, I thought this was really cool. So Rivian has opened up their first charging outpost, which I just love that name, Charging Outpost, up in Yosemite. And so right here you can see some images of what it looks like. I love the old town feel of it. You know, look, they're right here, dog. They have the watering fountain for the dog, some games for kids to play while charging. I like this. I mean, this is what I know that there's some companies out there that are going to start doing these, not just charging stations, but like a whole experience, right? You're going to have a convenience store and different activities and things you can do while you're waiting because, you know, it's not like a car, ICE vehicle where you fill up in 5 minutes and you're out. It's, you know, takes a little bit longer with an EV. And so, you make it fun.
Hey, we're talking about Rivian, but I'll redirect it back to Tesla because I still think that the drive-in diner that they're doing in Santa Monica, California, is mm-hmm. one of the coolest things I've ever heard of, because yep. it does two brilliant things. It's mm-hmm. it's like it's such a cool idea that it's like they're gonna have people skating, bringing out your food and all that kind of stuff. Like anyone who's been to a Sonic or a Checkers or something, not wildly new concept, but it's like in a Tesla where you've got whole entertainment system, you can watch YouTube, you can watch Netflix, you can watch whatever you want and also enjoy that experience while enjoying a burger while charging. I think it's kind of the core of what's brilliant about electric vehicles. And I love to see that Rivian's opened this with the idea, because this looks like Rivian's there's the one, the first was it Kettleman Ranch, I think, was like the largest Tesla supercharger up until they started building larger than 40 stall chargers. And that thing has a public restroom, obviously, a couple of vending machines, there's an espresso bar where someone will make you drinks. You know, it's a little bit more of a, hey, this is a chill spot and you can, you know, enjoy yourself in the air conditioning while your car is charging. And it looks like this is Rivian's version, but I want to see more drive-ins. I want to see more places with people on roller skates bringing me milkshakes. And I want Rivian and Tesla to do it, damn it.
Well, I've been saying as well that, you know, I think what would be a great idea, and I mean, maybe it's not, but you know, why not a movie theater, a drive-in movie theater where you can charge. Yeah. You can sit there and you can watch a movie and you can charge and, you know.
And it doesn't even need to be like peak level 3 charging. You could literally do like Tesla's urban chargers where you just use 70 mm-hmm. kilowatts. And I mean, an hour and a half long movie, that'll yeah. fill up pretty much every Tesla.
Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
And, you know, get rid of the idle fees because obviously you're there watching a fucking movie, but, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if you're privileged like our the big timer over here, then you can go to Bucky's, you know, and not only charge your Tesla, but also go to hit up the greatest
get some brisket.
Yeah. You know, the brisket. Cleanest
Eric, you've been to Bucky's, right?
Have you not?
I have not. I have not. I've never been to Lucky's.
All right, we got to get you out here because I was actually happily surprised this weekend.
My wife has. She was in Texas and out for work, and she literally like brought home like a suitcase full of luggage full of Bucky's items. So I have camping table.
Heck yeah!
She brought back on a plane.
Yeah, my wife and I, we were like. Took a last minute trip up to Bucky's, and for various reasons we went up there. But yeah, that was one of the things I was excited to see is they had a supercharger there at Bucky's, which is new for that location. Like the only one that I've known about was New Braunfels, which was the first one, and that was a couple of years ago that I noticed it. But now they're starting to roll them out to a lot of the other Bucky's now. So this one actually has 48 stalls. No pull through stalls, but there's enough
course
you could probably take up a couple stalls parallel and not feel bad about it because there's enough. One notable thing is there's 12 V4 stalls that are just being installed as we were there. So really cool to see.
Nice. So yeah, that's going to be cool. Yeah, they need to start doing more of those the V4s. But
yeah, go get some beaver nuggets while you're at it. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, so the thing about that is that Bucky's is kind of a catch 22 when you're a Tesla owner. And I will say this is like a pro tip. Sorry, I'm not taking the tip away from you. But if you are taking a Tesla to Bucky's, don't park and charge like the first thing you get into, like the first thing you do when you get into the parking lot. Because what's going to happen is you're going to park, charge your car, go into Bucky's, and you're going to spend more than 20 minutes in there, and you're going to have to run back out because idle fees are going to start to start to occur up. So do yourself a favor, get your Bucky's stuff business done first, and then go charge.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much to do in Bucky's that you're going to spend way more time than 20 minutes.
I need an invite, Chase.
Eric, let me tell you one thing though, because I come from Florida, where gas station food in general is a huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
But so when somebody says this is the best gas station barbecue, there's a part of my head where I'm just like, Is it really, you know, so it's like, do I need like a steel reserve to really appreciate it or what? But this is, Buc-ee's is the real freaking deal, man. They are they are what thing. Every gas station should be in the next 50 years. Like, they are perfect for this great country of ours when you're driving across the middle of nowhere and you need a place with like 30 urinals. It's perfect. That's the most amazing place in the world.
They all have like a central location that has, it's dual sided, where you have brisket on one side and then fudge on the other side. And then they have like a full crew working like tirelessly with like meat sweats going on and in cowboy hats. And then they slap a big brisket on the board and be like, fresh brisket on the board. And they all go, fresh brisket on the board. Yep. And then they like cut up the brisket. They're making brisket sandwiches like fresh right there. It's a thing.
This isn't like 3 week old brisket that somebody found outside and dragged inside.
Good.
This is top quality eating. Buc-ee's.
Interesting.
I'm surprised it took us this long to talk about Buc-ee's in this podcast, but it's good.
Sounds like it's a Disneyland for gas stations.
It pretty much is.
It's the size of a Walmart.
It's perfect for Tesla, for the idea of supercharging, because it's like, I'm sorry, gas station fill-ups usually last 5 minutes, then you go inside, and you already feel like you're in a hurry, because you're like, well, I'm done gassing up, what am I going to do? It's perfect for electric cars, because you park in there, and then you get lost in there, and then your phone buzzes and says it's been an hour, you're accruing idle fees, and you have to move your car. Because otherwise... Exactly. You know, you're in the gift shop waiting for your brisket to be called, and you don't want to be too far away while you've got a tray full of food. It's a wonderland, and it's exactly the kind of place that you're just like, I have 20 minutes to kill, and I'm going to eat some good food. So shout out to Buc-ee's.
Definitely go out of your way.
I may have to do a nice little road trip and head myself down to Texas.
You can't go wrong. Buc-ee's is fantastic.
Come see Chase and get some Buc-ee's.
I'm curious where the closest one is to you, but I'll tell you here in a sec.
Well, I don't want to go to those. I want to go to the one by you.
But yeah, you could come out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It needs to be a Buc-ee's on some long stretch between Austin and Dallas or something like that.
So I wanted to show something real quick. We're talking about other... legacy automakers making EVs. So this is the new offering, a new vehicle that's coming out from Cadillac. I know everybody thinks Cadillac, thinks of the Lyriq or even now the Escalade. But what about the Soleil? This thing, not only is
it... wheels are gaudy, but I like the car.
Yeah, I mean...
It looks like a Cadillac. Especially from the front end. Holy crap. So, like, what's the bells and whistles? Because I'm sure it's like $300,000 or something.
It's gonna be very expensive. But, it looks like they're not holding back punches with this. This thing is fully loaded.
Somebody said, I want a car that looks like a lemon meringue pie. And Cadillac's like, I'm in.
It's 100%.
Holy shit.
I love lemon meringue pie, so
I'm
in
on that. Do
you
love it so much that you'd buy a $300,000 Cadillac?
If I had $300,000 to spend on a Cadillac, maybe so.
You're like, that's
maybe so.
I mean, I will mention that I think it's kind of up their alley that if you notice how they're focusing on both the front passenger as well as the back passenger, which is typically it's like only the back passenger gets all the cool visual stuff, but it seems like there's also a screen for the front passenger too.
I wonder if those are like user or passenger control buttons, like, you know, speakers, recline, speaker, temperature, ventilation, all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be out of my price range, but I like it. I mean, it's cool.
It's got the dashboard wide monitor for some reason.
Yeah, it's definitely different, but it's, you know, once again, it's what I like about Cadillac and what they're trying to do is they're really going in a different direction, right? They're going for ultra premium, ultra luxury. They're really targeting a whole different demographic. And
Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, maybe, possibly.
She's
I don't know.
On.
This doesn't seem
She's like I'm out. I need a lemon meringue car.
Yeah, I don't know. Will would have more insight on Kim K and what she's planning on doing.
No idea what she's up to lately. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Speaking of that, I did read a tweet from Sawyer that stated how FSD 12.5, when it starts being released to the Cybertruck, how a lot of these celebrities are going to be able to experience full self-driving for the first time because, you know, the Cybertruck is a huge seller with the celebrities, as you know, Will knows, because that's his crew. But you know, so that's gonna be interesting to see. You know, I'm sure on her show Kim's gonna have a portion of the episode of her freaking out when the car's driving, the Cybertruck's driving her around. So, and Will would be there for all of that content. Wanted to get
if they want to hire me for it,
why not, right?
You see Will hanging in the back of the Cybertruck with a boom camera.
I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm there. I don't care.
That'd be funny.
Nice turd.
wanted to. This was the what were they thinking right here? You can see huge line at a Tesla supercharger. People are getting heated. People are getting upset. People are cutting in line. You know,
See, this so, is
where is this?
This is the charging anxiety people refer to.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's always been one of my biggest fears. Is if I'm on a road trip and I show up to a Tesla supercharger and there's a line like that, and people are waiting. And I've been to some superchargers where maybe there's like a line of, you know, one or two. Actually. Las Vegas is like that at some of their superchargers where there's a line. But, you know, it's just one of those things where people are getting upset. I really wish there was a little bit more direction of how the line forms. And, you know, I know that the supercharger in Vegas by the Link Hotel, they have a one way in, one way out type of scenario. So it controls traffic. This parking lot doesn't look like that's the case. It looks like people are coming from different angles, and that I've experienced that too, where some guys coming in over here, some guys coming over there, and now you're almost jockeying for position. But you know, so the what were they thinking portion of this is just the fact that like, these people are all freaking out, yelling at each other and screaming, and you know, what the hell are they thinking?
I will say, I think that there's something that I have always loved the prospect, or I don't know if I've always had, but I really love the prospect for electric vehicles, of the idea that it's like you've got electricity at your house, and there's and the technology isn't so far off that you'd be able to do a lot of advanced charging you can't do now at your house. But the limitation is that everybody has to rely on the supercharger locations for faster than level 2 charging. Because if you can get at home, you can charge. But none of those people waiting in that video were like 5 minutes from home or had the time to do a longer charge. And in my mind, it's the annoying thing is it's like there's a reason why, you know, gas stations are set up the way that they are. They only have a finite number of pumps because there's a finite amount of gas that it's going to potentially pump to the cars. And there's only so many cars you can have drawing at one time without really mucking it up. Electric vehicles have the benefit of being like, in a future that I imagine, electric vehicles, it's like every parking space could have the hardware to charge. Every parking space, not the disabled spaces, but their electric vehicle spaces, not the charge point enabled ones. There's no reason why every parking lot doesn't have just a quick little plug-in. So if you go to the supermarket for an hour, you could level 2 charge. And I think that right now we're at an early days. Like I haven't done any kind of research on it, but it's like I want to know in the early days of automotive, how many gas stations were there really? Because we get upset if we have to drive like to the bad shell instead of the other shell. Or we, you know, we used to driving gas cars. You have to appreciate.
Well, I'm going to piggyback on that. I did read an article.
Did I cut out? I did cut out. Damn it. Freaking internet.
Yeah.
I'm just trying. So I don't know how far I cut out, but anyway, I think that we live in the golden era of gas stations everywhere, in absurd places sometimes, but we have to go out of our way to find a plug that doesn't tap into a limited reservoir. It's just connected to the main grid. So in a way, I feel like in the short term, it isn't unreasonable to expect more charging solutions in every parking lot, because it's just one of those, it makes sense. And the more that like Tesla has their virtual power plant online, having your car parked at work, but still networked up to be able to discharge to support your local grid or whatever, those are the goals for what Tesla and electric vehicles kind of stand for. And that's why in the future, we're living in this weird era where it's like, oh, there's only plugs over here, or there's plugs over in this other area, as opposed to it's like every one of our bedrooms has access to electricity. Every room in our house has at least like one plug. Outside of our house has plugs. I don't think that it's unreasonable that in the near future, every parking space will have the same kind of accommodation, even if the whole fleet isn't electric, just because it makes sense and those batteries are helpful. So what were they thinking? They were probably thinking we need more damn plugs.
Well, I was going to mention when you cut out that I did read an article where Bloomberg, there's a Bloomberg article that stated that based off of the growth of EV charging stations, you know, how many are going into place and how quickly they're being installed, that they anticipate within 8 years that there will be more EV charging stations than there will be, or not charging stations, but like, you know, like hubs, you know, like a one location than gas stations.
As it should be.
Which is like that, gas stations that helps solve a lot of the issues, right?
And it makes the it makes them more appealing. And it's like, you know, I know that we've got charging anxiety and range anxiety and all these things, but I don't think that it's unreasonable that within a generation, within a very short period of time, honestly, people will start to realize what their driving habits actually are. It's like, people are like, oh, I go road tripping. Okay, do you do it all the time? Well, maybe once a year or maybe once every other year. Like, okay, so do you need the car that you own to be driven by gasoline, or could that be a rental? And then, you know, drive electric. People think they drive more than they do, or that they need more options than they do, when it's like electric vehicles offer you an alternative to that that meshes better with people's lives. And as soon as they can be like, hey, I'm charging at home and I'm charging at work, or more of those options become available to them, I think that people will start to realize, like, damn, I've been going all the way around my ass to get to my elbow to when it comes to driving a car. Why don't I just have a electric car that just gets me to work and back, you know?
Yeah. It makes me wonder, because I've always said that, like, eventually we're going to have to see in the next 10 years all these gas stations convert over into charging stations, because they already have the infrastructure and the locations where we need them. Like, even where I'm at, they're building, like I said, three gas stations within 10 miles of me, and it's not like we don't have gas stations in that range. Mm-hmm. They're just more. And it's like, oh, and some of them are like literally across the street from other gas stations. Like they're just building them. But the thing is that I was just thinking about that, is that you could easily convert them to charging stations if you put, without it, like putting extra pull on the grid, give them diesel generators at the stations that are already pulling from the diesel fuel tank they already have there to charge the generators with, and then put generator stations in the same gas lanes as well. So then you get twofold. You have pull through lanes as well as charging stations at all the gas stations. Plus they could do gas. So if you could do both, I think that'd be the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
And that's something that you could roll out now and make use of current fuel. But it's like, you know, and then I'm like thinking, like, you know, I want Star Trek. So I guess I want something crazier where I'm like, I want charging stations that are powered by underground thorium reactors, you know, the idea that we go to gas stations specifically, it's because they're stations on top of a large tank that's installed.
Mm-hmm.
That's a requirement of the landscape and the way that they're built and the way that solid fuel is delivered or liquid fuel is delivered. And I'm like, when you really start getting creative, and if there was an interest in it, the money was there, you could have so many new options that would drive a lot of electric vehicle sales. You'd get people rethinking the way that parking structures work. You know, like park your electric vehicle here and we'll pay you to plug in, to hook up, to charge, to run our facilities that we're hooked into, or something like that. You know, there just becomes more options, and all it is a plug instead of a station with a tank and fuel that has to be delivered all the time. It's just a plug, and it can. And I think that we just start getting cool with it. You know, like you guys said before, with like drive-in theaters or.
No,
that one too.
I was thinking Chicago's really bad about this too, about having pay parking even in the city. Like, you could pay $40 plus just to go park downtown for like a few hours. So like, yeah, if you could have driving traffic coming in, but you get discounted or even free parking because you're charging off of it, that could be something.
Yeah, when you talked about the gas station hybrid electric vehicle charging, so a few weeks ago I needed to go to a supercharger, and so I went into my screen and punched in where I wanted to go, and it was navigating me, and it was a supercharger I've never been to, and I get there and it's a gas station. So I'm going, where's the super? It has to be maybe around the corner or something, you know? I don't, you know, how these charging stations are sometimes. So I go and I do a loop, and sure enough, the supercharger's actually like in the parking lot of the gas station. And I went, wow, that's interesting. You know, I've never seen this before. And so, yeah, I think some of these gas stations, they're kind of catching up to that. Like, hey, you know what? We're a gas station, but let's also have EV charging here. You know, but I like that integration where you can just put it next to the actual pump, you know, so that way, because anybody that knows any of my videos, huge gripe of mine is pull-throughs. We need pull-throughs. We need pull-throughs. We need pull-throughs.
Yeah.
And we need to know where they're at. So yeah, that I love that idea of just getting. And you know what? You're probably going to start getting some of that, where some of these gas stations are going to get converted, just totally converted to EV charging stations at some point. I don't know if it's going to happen in a year, 2 years, 3 years, but I think in 10 years, that's going to start happening.
My guess is it's going to fall on Tesla at the end of the day to come up with that line infrastructure to have that be possible, because we started seeing out here too with HEB pluses have been at like a big superstore, and then what they'll do is they'll put a gas station in front of the superstore, and then the one that's coming to mind actually just added, like you're saying, like a row of chargers on the outskirts of the parking, essentially. But it's always on the outskirts. It's always like, oh yeah, here's the generator and then here's the row, and it's always like pull back in slots, but it doesn't solve the issue. It's like the back end slots is only going to work for so long. You're going to need pull through eventually.
Yep, 100%.
Imagine even like a Tesla semi, you know, or something bigger. Yeah, you're going to need pull through.
I think that's what they're maybe thinking is, hey, you know what? Once the semi really starts gets going, that they're going to need to have almost, you know, like a rest station, right? But it's going to be for semi. Semi's going to be able to go in there and charge, and maybe that's what they're thinking with the people they're going to be towing that need those pull throughs. Hey, that's where you go. You know, you go to those, because those are going to be all off the highways, right? Because of the semis. Mm-hmm. So, you never know.
But what I was describing before with like when you have parking lots that are entirely set up for charging, then you can just, or at least you have the technology to do it easily, then you can have entire parking lots where you can have any spot I know the way that when you tow, it's like you find a nice big parking lot, just pick some spot way out in the back where you can pull through anywhere. And it's like, well, imagine if all of those parking paint lines were energized or had the ability to plug into or to, you know, take a charger, an NACS plug out of. Just those kind of things. I think that everybody kind of thinks that it's like, you know, you need to have this niche little cradle for every vehicle. Mm-hmm. And right now it's a parking space that looks a certain way and has a pedestal at the back. And I'm like, the more that we think about it, it's like, it could be a cord above you in a parking garage. It could be a number of things. But that, you know, the fact is they're all just plugged into one central power supply as opposed to gassing up your car. You know, it's not raining gas like ever. So, sunshine is right there.
Or how about when they start integrating, and you know, it's going to be eventual, the wireless charging, you know, now you just drive onto your parking station, you know, or your parking spot, you show up to your grocery store and you just park and the asphalt underneath you is not asphalt. It's some type of charging, you know, that could be.
Yeah.
You know, that could be the future as well. You never know. I mean, I think if that's where they're going, then that's where they're going. I mean, we're probably talking about, you know, 50 years from now or something, but it'll eventually get there.
Well, that's the thing that I'm thinking. It's like, you know, and I agree with what Chase was saying, where it's like, for the most part, these new innovations come from Tesla because, you know, they're just the biggest dog in the race. But that's where I'm like, you know, when we looked at the Rivian Outpost thing in Yosemite, I'm like, okay, cool. It's nice seeing other companies and entities taking an interest in it. You know, I don't know, Chase, if you've driven from LA to Vegas anytime, but there's out in Yermo, there's a Tesla supercharger that's Wally's World or something like that, or something.
Eddie's World.
Oh, Eddie's yeah. World. Eddie's World.
I'll be stopping there tomorrow.
And that place is hilarious. I mean, it's basically like, you know, our kind of California middle of the desert version of a Bucky's. It's like it's got candy bagged and
they don't have brisket.
Number of drink. They don't have brisket. They don't have any good food. That is very true. But it shows you that the guy is thinking about the idea of, okay, I'm going to put chargers here, and then I've got people's captive attention. I'm going to give them something. And it's like Tesla's doing it with Santa Monica. I'm still waiting to see somebody like Westfield, like or Simon, a major mall owner that knows the idea of coupling people, drawing people in and encouraging them to stay for an hour. Not necessarily longer, but not necessarily shorter. You know, they can just get them to stick around as long as they can, but they're kind of a sponsor of the whole idea of, okay, you're going to park downstairs and then you're going to come up and spend money. And the reason you came here to spend money is because of the experience of the place. I'm waiting for somebody to be like, we're going to make that charging experience like a glass elevator right up to here's a food court. Here's some other nice stuff. We're going to treat you guys like this is the place you want to go to and spend some money. And I think that that's going to be, and I think that's something that is literally years away, just a couple of years. I think that it just takes somebody being like, hey, I think that maybe there's a lot of these EVs on the road. If we really gave them something to go towards, that really drew them in, we could redefine a lot of things, get a lot of interest.
I agree. And that's what gets me excited when I hear some of these companies that some of the things that they're doing, maybe not that extravagant, but they're doing something. They're making these, you know, charging stations. So last thing I have, guys, is our wrap of the week. Let me go ahead and pull that up real quick. This one was a few weeks ago, but we've had some really cool wraps lately, and so this has been on the back burner. But the Matrix wrap, which, you know, I think like it's just
it'd be cool,
right?
if it glowed in the dark. That'd be badass.
Yeah, so I like it. I think it's cool. It's different. It's, you know, we keep saying that. These wraps are just, you know, they just keep coming out, you know, just everybody's just.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's been kind of, you know, Tesla, like, got everybody buying a Tesla, got super interested in paint protection film and then, you know, vinyl wrapping their cars. And now there's like, here's a car that literally is just an open canvas for you to paint on and do whatever you want. They literally have kids painting on them with markers and stuff like that. But seeing everybody kind of come up with all of these really, really cool vinyl concepts to add texture to the car. It's just a very interesting thing for automotives because everybody knows oh, you buy a car and it has like one of eight colors and, you know, enjoy. You know, I have a green car, I have a blue car, I have a purple car. This car kind of like requires you to sign it, you know, for it to be worth anything. It's kind of cool that way.
Yeah. It's wanting it to be wraps. The fact that it, like,
exactly.
It's, yeah. By default, it's so basic. Yeah.
I spent a couple of months trying to keep that surface clean, and I'm here to tell you, get it wrapped. Okay? Yeah. It's beautiful. I love the stainless steel look, but yeah. Holy crap, your job is going to be keeping it clean.
Mm-hmm.
So 100%. Get a vinyl wrap.
And we talked about that last week, Will, when you weren't available, and Chase and I were talking about the wraps and all that, and I mentioned, you know, you, Will, you for months now have kept just saying, like, it's a canvas and you have to treat it as such. And that's, you know, that's why we have that segment. That's what makes us excited.
It's exciting.
You know, is just the fact that people are having fun with it and doing things and, you know, it just,
And I will say this, I think that the balance sheet on the Cybertruck is something that still needs to be, will eventually be exposed. People will be like, okay, here's what the actual cost per part is. Here's what, you know, just basically a reconciliation of, okay, here's how much it costs to buy. Here's how much it costs to build. And I think that the Cybertruck in a few years will reveal that I think that Tesla was always chasing a manufacturing breakthrough on getting people interested in how all auto manufacturers, not just Tesla, but how all auto manufacturers could engage the public with the vehicles that they're making. Because for so long, like I said, it's literally been decades of, okay, do you want a yellow car? Do you want a blue car? Do you want the red? Do you want the LS, the S, the ES, the SX, the B? Just all these little variations that meant very little. And I think that Tesla's kind of, with the Cybertruck, say what you will for the overall design of it, but I wonder if the manufacturing is going to start, not just the 48-volt architecture as far as lowering cost and pivoting some choices back to the customer and eventually leading to lower-priced new manufactured vehicles. I think that they're kind of dabbling in that with the way that the Cybertruck is manufactured by the Gigapress and the way that the panels look right now. It's like, it could be very real that in the very near future, all automakers are like, we don't paint the cars anymore. Mm-hmm. You wrap it.
Yeah.
You send us a design when you order it, or we wrap it in one of these colors and we recommend you wrap it every year or something like that. That might be more durable than a paint. And
I think so.
And nobody's trying stuff like this except Tesla, which is why it's cool to see them doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I think if anything, like after wrapping the Cybertruck, I'm sold on wraps. Like as long as I can justify the cost, I would wrap every single car that I'm wanting to keep like pristine and nice. Cause even if it's like just like a clear coat or a satin clear PPF, just to make it look nice and keep it nice, I think it's well worth it. Well worth it.
Yeah.
Kind of hot off the press. And kind of funny at the same time. There was a post yesterday. Talking about the auto summon, I believe it was someone talking about the full self-driving 12.5.
Actually, smart summon, because he's a 12-year-old boy, so it's ASS. It's actually ass. Smart summon. Yeah,
he says that it's a separate piece of code. The ass code is separate, but will be bundled with 12.5.x next month, which is very interesting. I don't know if it means we could be seeing the 12.5 next month, or it would be going out with employees and testing
beta
next month. Probably
and see,
beta.
This gives me hope, because if they think that 12.5 is confident enough that its initial release will eventually then lead to a sub-release that'll include the smart summon system again. I mean, you know, smart summon.
The auto smart summon.
Oh, yeah. I like actual smart summon.
Actual.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you guys know, but the ass is one of the accessories that you get with your Optimus.
Amen. Oh, wait, we didn't even talk about the cyber diaper.
Oh god,
the cyber diaper. That's
news
to me.
I don't know about that.
So
man.
We talked about it last week. So the accessories that came out. So the padding for the bike, it basically they came up with two things. It's like a padding that you can put your bike over the tailgate, and you're not going to mess up your tailgate. But then along with it, to hook into it on the opposite side are like two seats that you can like hook in. Mm-hmm. But on the back of it, it just looks like a diaper. It looks like you're putting a full diaper on the back of a Cybertruck.
And Chase knows about diapers.
I do. it's a full diaper wreck there.
Yeah. But so that's interesting. The ass.
12.5. I think it
gives me confidence. It gives me hope that if they're willing to say, you know what, if the autonomy and if the features that they have built into 12.5 are sufficient, that they're like, and we'll do you one better. If you're within 100 yards of the car, it'll drive itself without you even in the car again. And it works. I'm like, boom, there. You know.
Next month,
money going up. Or the month after.
Well, that's all I got, guys. I think that was a jam-packed full self-driving episode, but a lot of things to cover. But
yes, sir.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you to everyone in chat. Big ups to Jay and Hugo as always. We got a question real quick. Sorry, guys. Mitch Freeman. He says, "I can't figure my Foundation Series 2, configure. Foundation Series 2 days ago. You guys know how soon they'll ask me to pay. I'll be paying cash, and how soon the delivery process will happen."
I believe that, I think that they start asking you for cash almost immediately if you're going to do a wire transfer or something. As long as they have the money before you go to pick it up, I believe.
Or as long as you have a VIN, which all of this has actually been expedited lately. If you got the call to configure, I would be looking out in the next week. Nice. If you don't hear anything in the next week, I would probably give Tesla a call and see if you can just give them your reference number and ask.
Push through.
Like I said, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I had a renter that they rented it on Sunday, and they literally picked up their Cybertruck the next Saturday, and they had only just put their money down the previous Saturday, so it happens pretty quick now.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting a lot quicker with it. They want to pump them out. You know, I think they've even asked people to change their configuration because they got one sitting over here, and you can take delivery tomorrow. You know, so yeah, that's what I would say, Mitch. Is if you've already configured yours and you know, maybe give it a couple days for them to ask for you to pay for it in full. If you don't hear from them, I would reach out, and hopefully you don't need to sit on the phone for 4 hours. But reach out and see if they can help get that expedited for you. So, it's not like, I don't think it's like the old days or the early days, I should say, where you configure and like you're waiting months to get the Cybertruck. So it should be fairly quickly. So, all right, guys, appreciate it.
Good night, all.
Yep.